Hi, I'm Jennifer Osborne. This is the Conversations of Hope podcast, stories of hope as told by those who live them. Thank you for joining me for the first ever episode of Conversations of Hope. I am so excited to provide for you in podcast form the interviews we did with some amazing guests. I started Conversations of Hope in 2018 as a way to share how going from an impossible situation to a place of hope can be done. You need only take the time to hear the truths our guests share. This first interview was the launching of Conversations of Hope. My first guest was Tiffany Brereton, a survivor of sexual abuse, a former stripper, and a widow of a husband who died young of cancer. Her story will inspire you to understand that nothing is impossible when it comes to healing. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm super excited to be talking to you today about your story. I know we've talked a couple of times about how God really showed up in some really cool ways in your life, and how you didn't always recognize that he was there until you actually came into relationship with him. And I was really struck by one of the details of your story about how you found yourself at 19. You were divorced. You had a child, and you had just come out of the stripping lifestyle and had suffered some really very traumatic things at that point, and how you kind of found yourself trying to figure out how to move out of that into adulthood with all of this baggage you were carrying. So tell me a little bit about where you were at 19 and coming out of that lifestyle and what had led you there. And
So I think after the divorce and after I had my daughter, that I just really grew up overnight, and that it was just, you know, a real self-awareness that I needed to get it together for her. It wasn't about me anymore, and I just grew up overnight. I think at that time, I just had so much hurt that I didn't have a relationship with God at all. I didn't know him. I didn't even know if he was real or there anymore. And I just thought it was me. And I just had to do the best I can with what I had.
How did you kind of keep yourself going through that? Or what were you thinking as you were experiencing some of that?
I was sexually abused when I was in the seventh grade. And I didn't know what that really was at the time. I was just very naive and just a kid. Things kind of spiraled out of control, but I really wanted to remain good still, my like definition of good. And it was really important to me that I saved myself for the one I was going to marry someday, and that I really wanted to remain a virgin. I don't know why that was so important to me, but it just really was. Like, no one was going to get that. And then when I thought I met my knight in shining armor, I was 18, just out of high school. And he was much older. And he said things and that just I needed to hear, that I was waiting on my whole life, this like fairy tale and fantasy I had in my head of what that was going to look like when that guy came into my life. And so he said all those things. So I start letting guards down that I had not let down with guys previously. Like, they were not getting in, and I made it very clear. So I let some walls down when I heard those things. And just one day things start going too far, and I told him no. And I thought at the time I didn't know much about sex because I'd never had sex before, but I always heard that if you say no, that they were supposed to stop. That was like the rule. Yeah. And he didn't stop. And that's how I lost my virginity.
How did you process that at the time? I can't even think.
I just feel like I was still so young. So I really had that role still. I was like, okay, well, I had sex, even though it was rape and it was not my choice. But I always said that the first person I had sex with, I was going to marry. So I felt that I should continue on in that relationship because it was such an important thing for me. So I just continued on, and that's where I learned my sexuality, which was really damaging and weird that I would learn my sexuality in that relationship, but I did. The romance and the vision I had for that was nothing, nothing like that.
What kept you going hope-wise? Like, where do you see God in that whole, before you actually were in a relationship with him, where do you see him in this?
Well, I didn't see him at the time in it. And it actually took me a long time. I guess I just didn't want to believe that God was there because it was so awful. But now looking back, I know God was there, and that's not what God wanted for me. And he was just weeping, and it made him so sad that, you know, that would happen to me.
Yeah.
So I know he was there and just giving me the tools and the strength, even though I didn't have a relationship, to get with him, to get out of that relationship and to carry on.
Yeah.
Until we had the relationship. So
you have been instrumental in starting a new group at Crossroads Florence, which is another meeting for the childhood sexual trauma group. It has been meeting in Oakley that you've been a part of. Tell me a little bit about how God has been meeting you and other people that have been through like some just awful experiences.
So I'm going to go back a little bit, but about a year or a little bit more ago, all of the sexual trauma that I had experienced kind of started surfacing. I had stuffed it down for years, and I really thought I had a handle on it. I was just kept putting it away. So it came to surface, and for some reason this time I couldn't stuff it back down, although I tried. So I was having many sleepless nights. I started having anxiety for the first time, that I can physically remember anxiety in my body. I was having neck and shoulder issues, went to the hospital. All of this was physical anxiety, and I didn't know. Had a couple anxiety attacks, and I identified what it was, and I was desperately searching for something. My first step was I went to women camp, and
In women camp is through Crossroads Church. It's kind of an overnight retreat out in the woods.
Yep.
Do all kinds of stuff and really kind of get in touch with yourself in case people didn't know what that was. So
yeah. So I had heard amazing stories at Crossroads Services about women camp and the freedom that it was bringing a lot of people. So I needed freedom, and I was in desperate need of it. So I was going to, I'm not a camper, I'm a girly girl, but I was going to women camp on a mission of healing. And just these amazing testimonies, I really felt like he could take it all, could take it right then. So I walked through that experience, and I felt like God was, if he told me to go sit on the ground over there, I went and sat on the ground. So I was just trying to follow him the best I could, because I knew that this was a desperate need. We wore veils for kind of one of the, I guess just one of the like assignments they had us.
Like an experience.
Yeah.
That they walk you through a lesson and the veils were representative.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wore that veil and I really took it to heart. A lot of people just did their little exercise and got rid of their veil, burn it. But I felt like God was telling me something different. So I walked with that veil to the prayer tent and just was crying. And I asked, after prayer, I asked my two prayer warriors if they would come to the fire and burn it with me, because I tried to carry this and do this on my own for so long and I couldn't do it anymore. So I took them with me to the fire and just had them help me do that and just pray right there.
Now for you, what was the veil representative of? Mm-hmm. Because it was an exercise to show you what was covering up your identity.
It was just my identity. I think it was just, I couldn't be that anymore. I had for so long pushed through so many things on my own and try to be perfect and have this perfect image for everyone. And I couldn't do that anymore. I was broken. And I just couldn't live up to those standards anymore. So that veil, was a representative of that, of just getting rid of that.
And your body was telling you, like you said, you had all these things going on that you had to do something.
Yes, and something different.
You didn't know what that was, and God was meeting you mm-hmm. at Women Camp.
Yes. Yes. Every step.
Yeah. So that burning of that veil for you was what? Was it?
Well, at the time, I was hoping that it was really just healing, that I was finished, I was done, and there was no work to be done, because I didn't know what that work looked like. I didn't know what that work was at the time. I didn't right. know that what other hope there was than God just taking it all.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience, because I think it was the first time that I had shared my story so openly with other people, and that they just loved me and accepted me, and it was okay. And they were there for me, and they didn't judge me. And so there was a lot of freedom in that. And it was a big step and a big start in my journey, I feel like.
What did that feel like for you to be able to tell that? I mean, besides freedom, mm-hmm. To your insides, as far as all of the stuff that you've been carrying around, and you tell somebody your story,
yeah,
and you're met with love. Like,
you know, it was freedom. But when I got out of that experience, I just remember never wanting to go back to perfect Tiffany and carrying all that stuff. I just wanted to be real all the time. I couldn't be happy just with small talk and fakeness anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't in me. So I just wanted to carry that into my everyday life for the rest of my life.
Yeah. The authenticity.
Yes. Just so freeing just to be you and loved.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So then God brought you to the childhood sexual trauma group.
Yeah.
Which I've heard some really great things mm-hmm. coming out of Crossroads Church about that group.
Yeah.
For people that have experienced different types of trauma.
Yep.
So you're in this group. And
I guess I was just desperately seeking when I got back, because I was like, oh, I'm not healed. And I just wanted to be healed. And but there was no turning back. I had to. So I found this group on Crossroads website, just such a God thing, in the middle of the night, just in another sleepless night. So I found this group and signed up for it. It was 8 or 9 week class at the time. And it started in August, just past August. And I remember just walking into that building and just watching others walk into that building. And I was just so sad, not for my own self, but I was so sad that all these other people were walking in and experienced the same thing. So I just kind of sat there, and they bring in experts every week, and just learn things that I had never heard before in my life, that my brain actually changed in those traumatic things, that, you know, there was work that could be done to combat them. So a great spiritual leader at our church recently said, and it's just been rang so true, like, oh, that's what happened. But he said, if you ask God to move mountains, be prepared that you might need to pick up a shovel and help. Mm. So that was just so big that I was like, oh, that's what that was. Because every step of that healing journey, God met me. Without God, I couldn't have done it. But it wasn't just this overnight success story. He wanted me to go through that journey. He walked with me in that journey. And then when the class ended and I did some additional therapy that I learned from the class, he put on my heart to host this group. And I'm like, what?
Be the change.
Yes. So I just thought, you know, this was the only time. There's people that have gone years to these classes. So I was like, are you sure, me? So I met with the host of that group who's been hosting it for a very long time. And I said, I really feel like God wants me to take this group to Florence, and shared with them some of my story, and no hesitation, and said yes. And I was just blown away. I mean, it's his baby. You know, he's seen so many success stories, and he has a success story from this class. And that he just trusts me. And I mean, it's just all God. Like, it's God just clearing out all the path to make this happen. So, really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and that gets me excited. Just thinking about how God took you from, like, okay, God, I know I want to change. Like, mm-hmm. you knew the veil needed to come off.
Yep.
You wanted to live authentically. You couldn't go back to fakeness or falseness, or, in other words, trying to be perfect,
yes.
or live up to a standard that you could never reach,
no.
which was really unrealistic, and God knew that. So mm-hmm. he met you in that. But I get excited thinking about just like where God's going to take you in the next, you know, the next steps with other
yeah.
people who are wanting to realize that healing. But,
yeah.
So if someone was listening to your story today and they said, well, gosh, like what does that mean for me? Like if they're feeling pretty hopeless and like, mm-hmm. there's no way God can meet me in this ugly, broken, awful place, what would you say to that? I mean, given your experiences
yeah.
and circumstances.
I think he does. For a long time, I struggled with where was God in these situations. And just like I mentioned before, he really was there. And he was there, and he was grieving, and he was holding me, and he was carrying me through all of that stuff. Because I don't think I could have stayed out of a mental institution if it wasn't for him. There's just been so much heavy stuff. So he was carrying me through that to the end where I am now. And then once I really dived into this relationship with him and really just started walking in obedience with him, my life just started changing. And I started trusting him. Every step I took, he was there, and I met that, and he met me. So, he's there in the ugly.
Amen to that. He's there in the ugly. That's great.
Yeah.
It said, you've made a statement too, that you knew God was there because you made it through it.
Yeah.
That if you wouldn't have gotten all the protection at certain times and,
yeah.
and crazy events that happened mm. and the trauma if
yeah.
he hadn't been there.
Yeah.
So, I love your testimony, everything mm. about how how God has walked you through that. And I'm really glad you shared some of that today.
Yep.
So thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Conversations of Hope podcast. Stories of hope as told by those who live them. Music by Lauren Dusky. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2022 by Parable Road.